It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. Thank you for being here. What a blessing it is for us to have this opportunity as we end another year and face a new year. God's been good to us. He's allowed us to be here. Amen. Thank God for the privilege and honor of doing that. Thank God for a church to come to and worship Him as we see fit. He's such a good God. My heart is stirred this morning as over the last several weeks the Lord's been dealing with me concerning our new year and concerning what direction He would have me to go in as far as our Bible study time, our learning from the Word time. We are in a time of decision. If you've noticed on the sign out there, the Lord had led me with that theme of 2019, the year of decision. I don't understand all what that means yet, but I'm in obedience put that up there because the Lord tells us in His Word, whoever's on His side, come on over this side. I believe as we enter to this new year, God is requiring more commitment, more dedication, but mainly listening to His voice. As we finish out this world, it's going to be imperative that we learn to hear His voice. Do not be caught up in rhetoric or routine or just going through the motions. But make sure every day you live counts. And make sure you value every day. The Lord's been teaching me that. You know, we've been, a lot of us have had a little bit of Christmas vacation. And instead of joining the vacation, you're sitting there thinking, I only got 2 more days left. Only got 3 more days left. And it's like the Lord was correcting me and said, just enjoy the day. Don't worry about the 2 more days you got. Just enjoy the day. And I asked Him to forgive me for that. And so I just want to enjoy the day. But time is something that God has in His hand. The world situation is what it is, but God gave us His Word to show us and explain to us. So value every moment you live, every day you live from here on out, because it's going to be critical that you hear what God has to say. With that being said, I want to begin to share with you a series for the next couple of weeks on a new world coming. That's the best title I could come up with, but basically there's a new world coming. And we hear a lot today about new world order. We hear a lot today about the government this and the government that, but I want you to be very clear. To me, I feel like that I'm in a critical stage of history. In the early days, people were talking about Christ coming. That was their ministry. He came. And just so that you'll be assured, we celebrated Christmas the last few days. That was a symbol of prophetic fulfillment. But I want you to be reassured of this. There's another day that we're going to celebrate, and that's the second coming of the Lord. Just like He came the first time, hear what I'm saying, He's coming again. The world and the enemy has done everything it could to distort the Word of God by making it to seem like it's of none effect. But I want you to understand that no matter what the television says, no matter what the world says, God has a plan. God's plan is not moved by men's decisions. God fulfills His plan. Amen. Just like when Jesus was born in that little stable, that's just a facade. That's just nothing. He's just a carpenter's son. That's what the world wanted you to know. But it was a fulfillment of what God said. And so Peter here, I want to go to 2 Peter chapter 3. In this chapter, in this part of his writing, he begins to affirm and allude to the point of God coming again. Do not be moved by what you hear or what people say or what the world may seem like. Remember that he was just a little baby laying in a manger and nobody believed who he was. Even when he died on the cross, there was one person there with him. I want to share this out of my heart. I feel like it's critical that God has placed me in this for such a time as this. My ministry, even though it's been going on a long time, I feel like it's at more critical stage today than it ever has before because time's running out. Well, I've heard that all my life, preacher. I've heard that everybody's thought, the Lord's coming back. He ain't come back yet. We're going to talk about that. It's in the Word. It talks about that. But it's really important, these final hours, that every time I come before you, it's going to be real critical that I have something to say to you. I pray that I'll never waste your time. I pray that I'll never rush through this moment. Because the urgency that I feel by the unction of the Holy Spirit is I'm giving you some last words. You understand what I'm trying to say this morning? It's critical. Very critical. And though the world may seem like, as the old saying, is going to hell in a handbasket, God's got the world in his hands. And though the enemy may perceive to you that he is in control, he is absolutely not in control. If he takes my life today, the only reason he takes is God allows it, but God has given me another life and I'll never taste death. Do you understand that part? So God's got it in his hands. You may have gone through things that you don't understand. Time is one of those things that we do not understand. And what the enemy wants us to do is reason that within our minds so that we will, in our intellect, be able to reason it out. But there's a place in time that you have to trust God and nothing else. I know we live in a very technical time. I mean, if you want to know how to run your computer, ask your two-year-old. They'll tell you how to run your computer because they know how to set it up. I mean, I'm struggling setting up a phone, and the two-year-old says, hand it to me, I'll do it for you. And they get done, and they're, you know, it's blowing my mind because when I was two-year-old, that's been a long time ago. Amen. But God, and I feel his anointing so strong here today, so I'm going to try to get through the first part, but it's really important that you listen to what he has to say. So, there's a new world coming. The government says, and I want you to really hear this part right here. The government will never set up this new world order. Oh, they're going to try. And they're going to put it in their perspective. And they're going to try their best to do the best job they think that they can do to get this world in order. But I want to tell you, man cannot get this world in order. Our government right now is shut down because men can't even get along to make decisions that affect people's lives. So I really want you to hear, and this is not a... You know, everybody wants to get up here and beat somebody down and beat the government down. I mean, that's not what this message is about. I'm just making you aware that man does not have the answer. So where's the answer at? It's in the Word of God. Peter was writing these things down. That's why I know that the Bible is inspired by God, because these men were writing stuff down that they didn't even know what it meant. But they were in obedience to God. Alright, so 2 Peter chapter 3. And I want to read all of that, but I'm not going to take time to read all that today. In your Bible study this week, take time to read it. But I want to go on down to verse 3. Now there are three worlds mentioned in 2 Peter here. There's the past world. Did you know that when God talks about creating a new world, that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth? Do you know that's nothing different to God because He's already done it one time? It's sort of like the rapture. Well, I don't believe in the rapture. Well, it's already happened one time, a couple times, as a matter of fact. Enoch, the Bible says Enoch was not. I love that. Because he raptured away. So God's already, the rapture's already happened, so you can't tell me that it's not real because it's already happened. So you can't tell me that God's not going to create a new world because He's already done it one time. All right, let me explain to you. Verse 3 says, this is so good. I want to read verses 3 through 6 and 7. All right. Knowing this first, verse 3, there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. Now let me say this real quick. There's a lot of controversy when it comes to the church today. There's a lot of controversy when it comes to God today. And it's scoffers. But they didn't just appear in 2018. They've been here forever. It's a diversionary attack by the enemy to discredit what God says. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by God. But every time you hear God, there's going to come a measurement by the enemy to counteract what God is saying. Therefore, the word says, the just shall live by faith. Isn't that what it says? It didn't say maybe, or if you get a chance to, or you know, if you think about it, no, it says you're going to live. If you're going to live for God, you're going to live by faith. And faith is a relationship with God. Faith is a relationship with His Word. His Word is His bond. You remember what we were preaching last week, and that we said that when Jesus came into the earth, I know y'all all remember all that whole sermon, so I ain't even going to ask you about it. I know you do. But you remember the first point when I said that God's constant. His Word is constant. It always performs what it said it would do. His Word never fails. So when God said that there was going to come a baby in this world, born of a Virgin Mary, it happened just like He said, because He cannot lie. So when God says that I'm coming again, there's going to be a rapture of the church. There's going to be great tribulation. There's going to be all this. This world is going to come to an end. You can believe it. Because He said it, right? But there's always the scoffers. And so they were there. And they were scoffers in that day, walking after their own lust. So what does that mean? When you break that down and understand what the study of that means they had their own agenda. We live in a time now where man makes up God. We live in a time now where man decides who God is, what God likes, what God, you know, everybody today is their own God. Does that sound familiar? We're living in a day now where divinity and Trinity and things like that are never even mentioned, even from the pulpit anymore. Because people simply don't believe it. They believe belief is what you think it is. So it's after their own lust. So Peter is preaching among people just like you and I face every day. Jesus came. He delivered the sick. He raised the dead right in front of them. He fed thousands of people with a little fish and a little bread right in front of them. And they didn't believe it. So, that tells us here, listen, three worlds. Knowing this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own. Here's the deal right here, verse 4. And here's what they're saying. Where is the promise of his coming? You church people really get me. You church people really get me. That's all y'all talk about is the Lord coming. And the Lord coming. And he ain't come yet. All that is a fake. All that is a mind captivation of people. All that is playing on the little widows and all the people who don't have enough intelligence. You know, they look at us as Christians as people who don't have any intelligence. We just got to lean on something. And you church people just prey on those poor, innocent people, telling them all this stuff that's never going to happen. I want to say to you, Mr. Ignorant, it's already happened one time. Anybody ever heard a guy by the name Noah? All right, I'll just let that lay right there. So don't tell me that it can't happen because it's already happened. Don't tell me how in the world's going, God going to rapture everybody away. You know, we're so intelligent. As Jerry Clower said, our intelligence is going beyond our intellect. I mean, you know, we just believe, you know, we just, in our mind, we can't figure it out. You think? God said if you follow him, you're going to have to walk through days that you, I don't know how God's going to do it all. I don't know how the rapture's going to take place, but it's going to happen. Now, I've said this before, but in Jerusalem, in the Holy Land, there's an empty tomb, and the Bible says that this same Jesus that you see go away in like manner is going to come back one day. Isn't that what it says? I don't know how that's going to happen. I can't figure all that out. But I know this, it's already happened. You know, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I am in the drawer. And hey, I know that if it happened once, it can happen again. If you already done it one time, and he won't even show it off then, he's going to come back again, just like he said. So don't talk to me about this. All right? Let me go on. I'm just fooled. Because I really love y'all and I really want you to learn this stuff along with me. I want to learn everything I need to learn. So they're saying in verse 4, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things, look at this, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. What does that mean? There ain't nothing changed. The devil's, you know, he's out there doing his thing. And look, I don't see God doing nothing. Look how mean everybody is. Look at the evil in this world. How in the world can God let that happen? I want y'all to remember something that I'm saying this morning. The debt of sin has been paid on Calvary. But I'm going to tell you something. This world is going to get an account of everything they're doing. Do you believe that? They're not going to get away. I know sometimes we feel like, well, look at there. They done this and they done that and they got away with this. They got away with that. That's what they're saying right here. You know, you're talking about all this God stuff. And look, the devil's doing anything he wants to do. If your God is so big, why is he letting him do it? They don't know that the story's not over yet. My God has a record. There is a judgment coming. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Isn't that what the word says? Lucifer himself is going to bow. Boy, that's going to be a bad day. He's going to bow. And he's going to reveal to the world, I just led you like sheep before the slaughter. Boy. I know I'm preaching old fashioned this morning. But I'm telling you the truth. Amen. And I'm telling you this. Truth is what God is interested in. He don't care how much you go to church. He don't care how much you sing. He don't care how many Bible verses you quote if it's not in your heart. He wants it to be in your heart. Amen. So I love. Look, let me read verse 4 again. And saying, where is the promise of your coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, things continue as they were from the beginning. Listen to this, verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by word of God the heavens were old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. All right, now he's getting ready to say something here. God honors his word. God told Noah to begin to build a boat. And as he began to build that boat, don't you think that there were a lot of people saying he's crazy? They had never seen rain before. See, at least we've seen the rapture before, and at least we've seen God rebuild the earth before, because we got it in his word. Let me hurry up. For they willingly were ignorant. Verse 6. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, what's the next word? Perished. Let's talk about that world just a minute. The past world. The past world, number one, was destroyed by the flood. I want to give you a couple things to think about, and then we're going to go home. But I want you to understand the past world was a world that, number one, was created by God. God created the world. In Genesis 1 and 1, it said God, in the beginning, created. Look at verse 5. It said they were willingly ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old. By the word of God, God spoke this world into existence. It was created by God. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3, it says the heavens were framed by God and the earth thereof. It was a created world, just like the world we're in right now. God created this world. But the second thing I want you to get is in verse 6. It was a corrupted world. God is a God that gives free more agency. God does not make you serve him. God gave you a will. That's the reason that a third of the angels fell in heaven, because God would not even make the angels worship him if they didn't want to. So a third of the angels, Lucifer fell out of heaven, and a third of the angels fell out of heaven. We call them demons today. But I like them odds. Because for every demon, there's two angels. Amen? So, it says here, it was a corrupted world. And Genesis 6 and 7, as a matter of fact, can we take just a minute? I want you to see that. Genesis, I hadn't planned on reading this, but I feel prompted to do this. God messes me up sometimes. When I got all this stuff planned out, you know. Aren't you glad he messes me up? Amen. Genesis 6 and 7 says, and the Lord said, Genesis 6 and 7, that's the first book in the Bible. Genesis 6 and 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Both men and beasts and the creeping things and the fowls of the airs, and for it repenteth me that I made them. Good gracious. Isn't that something for God to say? Why? Because they were corrupted. I'm not going to ask you to look at this scripture, but I'll give it to you. Matthew 24, verses 37 and 38. You know what the Bible says there? Matthew was describing, chapter 24 describes the coming of the Lord, things that are going to happen before he comes. And it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. What does it talk about? They were given and taken in marriage, and they were partying, and they were having a good time. And you know what? You know what the problem was? They had no idea that judgment was coming. The Bible says, go back to 2 Peter now. The Bible says that they willingly were ignorant. They did not want to believe. You know how long Noah preached? A little Bible trivia here. Noah preached 120 years. I don't have nothing on Noah. But it was a created world. It was a corrupted world. And it was a condemned world. Because they allowed themselves to be ignorant. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, it said the long suffering of God, this is beautiful right here, waited in the days of Noah. Why did Noah preach so long? Because the long suffering of God. He wanted them to be saved. He wanted them. Noah would build that ark. They could hear the hammering all through the day. They could hear the sound. And they say, Noah, what are you doing? God's going to send a flood. He's going to judge this world. Man, you have lost it. We don't even know what you're talking about. We never seen no rain. What are you talking about rain? God's going to do it. There was a man in the Bible named Methuselah. A little more Bible trivia. How old was Methuselah? He was 969 years old. About like Jerry. 969 years old. Why did Methuselah? See, I ask God these questions when I'm studying. He's so good with working with slow people like me, and he'll help me, and he'll help me find answers. But I said, why did he live so long? Why didn't Noah preach 120 years? Oh, Peter said it's because of the long suffering of God. Why did Methuselah live so long? You know what his name means? It means when he is dead, it will come. And the Bible records that when Methuselah died, the flood came. Is that awesome or what? You think God ain't got this thing planned out? When he died, the long suffering of God, the grace and mercy of God was taken for granted over and over and over again, and judgment came. I want to say this to you. One day, the raging waves of God's wrath are going to pound against his mercy, and one day that dam's going to break. The sad thing of it is, that was a past world. And you know the story. Northview is an awesome Bible church, and you know the story that nobody but Noah and a few of it in his family were saved. The rain started coming. God shut the door. I love studying about that story. You know why God shut that door? Because if man had to shut the door, man could have opened it. But you see, we're preaching today, and people are saying, why are you wasting your time going to church? 2019 is going to be a year of decision. Why are you wasting your time going to church? That's just a mental thing. That people want to pray on how innocent you are. All these things that the world is telling you. But they're not telling you the truth. The truth is the rains are going to come. The past world was destroyed by water. We're going to talk about the present world next week. And the present world, the one that you know of right now, is going to be destroyed by fire. And the fire is already here. The fire is already here. Anybody ever heard of the atom? The atom that holds everything together, the positive and negative flow of the atom, the neutrons and all that. We're going to talk about that. Next week, it's already here. The things that are not seen are holding the things that you can see together. But it's infused by fire. And I'm telling you, God is the author and finisher of our faith. God made it clear in Noah's day, but nobody cared. But can you imagine when that door shut and the rains came? Nobody played, it wasn't no big deal. Got to their ankles, no big deal. Got to their knees, no big deal. But it kept raining, kept raining, kept raining, kept raining, till a whole world was destroyed. Now why would God do that? Did God do that? Or did they allow the enemy to take their life? Let me tell you something, and I'm going to close with this. This thing called church is very serious. 2019 is going to be a year of decision. It's going to be a year of decision that who's on the Lord's side, let him come on. Moses was talking about that. Joshua was talking about that. It's going to be a year when you get on fire for God or you drift on out. But if you drift on out, be aware that you're going against God's love and His mercy and His grace. And I love you and I got to preach to you this way. I know it's uncomfortable. I know we'd whole lot rather, you know, turn off all the lights in here where nobody can see one another and nobody feel nothing and let's just have a performance and everybody go home and talk about how great everything was. But there's coming a day when this world is going to be shaken to a degree that we cannot even imagine. There are some people that are teaching that we're going to have to go through this tribulation. But I don't believe that. I believe that God's going to rapture His church away. And when His church is raptured away, then this world is going to be unloosed with hellfire like you've never known it before. But as God did it the first time, woe unto those people who point their finger at God and curse Him and blaspheme Him and say they can do anything they want to do and God, where are you? They will see where He's at. That's why I want to tell you this, and I'm going to close. Don't get in an argument with people about what you believe. Don't try to convince them what you believe. Say, what do you mean? God will defend Himself. You know what I'm talking about? You stand on what you know. You stand. Well, I don't really know that much about the Bible. Doesn't matter. You know about Him. He'll reveal a word to you. You stand on what you know. You know when He touched your body. You know when He delivered you out of that sickness or whatever you were in. You know somebody in this place this morning has got to know that there's been a time in your life that you knew it was God. I'll tell you one thing. I've never walked to a nursery window at the hospital yet that I didn't look through there and see God. Because there's no way that a human being can do that. Amen? Amen. Don't you get out there and say, well, I believe in the pre-trib, I believe in the post-trib, I believe in no trib, I believe in this, you know. It don't matter. God's going to show you. God don't need you to defend Him. He don't need you to go out there and say, well, God really is. You just be still and know that He's God. Amen? Be still and know that He's God, Northview. And let me tell you something. I know we're small in number, and I wish we were filled to capacity so I could be full time. That's a little commercial right there, in case you didn't see that. If it happens, it happens to the dull and dumb. God's going to supply every need according to His riches and glory. Because as long as we lift up the name of Jesus in this house, He's going to take care of this house. You hear me? He might have to send a raven to feed you. He might have to have a brook dry up. He might send a few loaves of bread, a little bit of fish. He will declare His word.
If he himself has to step out of heaven and come down here and take on the form of flesh, he'll do it. Because he's a God of his word. Amen. And power. Oh, held him on that cross. Power held him on that cross. And only when he wanted death to come, it came. And then when death was having its party, he came down to where they were. Can you imagine that in all that darkness and they're just having... just a party there. We killed him, we killed him, we killed him. And all of a sudden light comes down in the darkness and takes the keys to death, hell, and grave back. And he gets ready to walk out. Bear with me now. He gets ready to walk out. He turns around. He looks at Satan and says, I'll be back. I'll be back. Satan knows that. Today he's scared to death. Because he knows he's coming back. Because he knows he'll do what he said. Past world, God destroyed. This present world will be destroyed by fire. We're going to talk about that next week. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy, your grace. We thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for teaching us your word, because we certainly don't know it without you teaching it. Lord, man contradicts everything we said today. They even tell us that there is no God, and they tell us that the Bible's not real, and they tell us all these things. But God, because we serve you in our heart, we know that our heart don't lie. And his heads are bowed now, no one looking around. I just feel impressed of God to say, if you're here today and you know without any shadow of a doubt that God is your God and he is your Lord and you proudly serve him, would you just lift your hand up and say, thank God for him. Thank God for him. Amen. Amen. Thank God for these hands. Know this. God's coming again. Thank you for your word, God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. We'll pick up on it next week.